Well, good morning. Welcome again to the Vineyard. Wow, that was a lot of rain. Torrents of rain, washing out bridges and roads, swallowing cars whole, destroying homes and businesses. You know, we here in this community, Duluth and the surrounding communities, we have been through an awful lot this past week, the result of a serious natural disaster. So, what difference does all this following Jesus business, what difference does it make in the face of a disaster? We here as a community, are we even relevant in the face of an actual disaster? The Bible, does the Bible have anything helpful to say in the face of this? Well, as a matter of fact, it does. You know, even our kids know that. I know that during the storm, there were some very earnest toddlers who were pointing out, you know, Mommy, the rain is going to stop. Noah, his ark, he promised it would stop. And that's great, but let's go beyond that. You know, the Bible also talks about how in the midst of disasters, crises in our lives, they are opportunities to experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in us and the kingdom of God flowing through us to others. And that's really what we want to unpack this morning. So we're going to do that by looking at Psalm 46. And if you want to grab one of those Bibles under the chair and flip to page 393, you can follow along. I'm going to start by praying and then we'll look at the Psalm. So God, we welcome you here now. Holy Spirit, I just ask for more and more of your presence. And I lift up our city to you now. And I pray for strength for so many people that are struggling. I pray for strength for our elected officials, for our mayors of the surrounding towns, for our city council, for our governor. God, I pray that you give them wisdom in this time of rebuilding. I pray for the recovery workers, utility workers that are struggling. Keep them safe. God, I pray for us this morning that we will hear from you. We'll hear directly from you of how we should respond in the face of disaster. We'll hear your call. We'll hear what you have specifically for each one of us individually. I pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's look at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." All right, I don't know if it's just because of what's happened over the past week, but I hear this psalm and it cries out to me that disasters happen. I mean, look right there in the text, it talks about the earth giving way, the waters roaring and foaming. That sounds pretty familiar after this last week. Even at the end of the first verse, it talks about there being trouble. You know, poop happens. Disasters happen. It's not like someone forgot to tell God. He knows. I mean, Jesus, when he was here, he said, famously said, in this life, you will have trouble. And there are lots of troubles. You know, there are these big scale troubles that we're facing here in Duluth. There are floods and earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes. There's terrorist attacks and wars. And then there's the individual heartbreak that goes along with those. And some of us and some people we know are facing that right now, just being overwhelmed by what we've lost or the prospect of cleaning up what's left. And then there's also more individual disasters, the death of a loved one, illness, disabilities, abuse, depression, loneliness. There's relationships that are broken. There's abject poverty and injustice in this world. And when we face these things, when we face these troubles, they run up against something in us. They crash headlong into something in us, which is our need for security. If you've ever seen the pyramid of human needs, way up at the top is security. And this tension between these troubles and our need for security, you know what they create? They create fear. It's right there in verse 2. It talks about, we will not fear, because fear is our usual reaction when bad things happen. And again, some of you may be facing that fear now. Maybe you're afraid because you don't know how you're going to pay for what's happened. Your insurance isn't going to cover it. You're fearful because maybe your memories, your way of life might be lost too with your possessions. Fearful that life will never get back to normal. Fearful that this life is out of control. For others of us, this storm did not have that much of a direct impact. Sure, you know, maybe we got a little water in our basement. But for us, there still can be this little sense of unease. I know I felt it, as particularly as I've been driving. You know, I've seen those pictures of those cars just swallowed whole, and I've thought, wow, how stable is this road? Do you get some warning before just plop and you're down at the bottom? Or maybe for you, it's, you know, the storm's over, you dodged the bullet, but what could be coming next? Or maybe you feel like you should be helping out some folks that were hit harder than you, but you're nervous about doing it. You're afraid that that could get messy. Well, what do we do with all this fear? You know, a really telling question that you can ask yourself is, when I'm afraid, when I'm worried, when I'm anxious, where do I go for an escape from that? You know, maybe you're there now or not, but eventually you will be. You know, in this life, there will be troubles, and you will be afraid. And what will you run to? What will you run to for security? Will you run to the refrigerator? Need a half gallon of ice cream? Will you go shopping? Maybe you'll go turn on the TV or look at, you know, check out Facebook. Maybe you'll use sex as a release. Or maybe you'll try to take control. You'll make a bunch of phone calls, work all night, clean the entire house, yell and scream. You know, we can have an amazing insight into our souls, into what really motivates us and who we are by just asking ourselves, when I am worried, when I am afraid, when I'm anxious, what do I turn to? What do I put my faith in for disaster relief? Well, God, he is disaster relief. What does it say there? Just the first verse of the song. It says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in troubles. God is our refuge. So what does that look like, having God as our refuge? Well, it would look like having him as the ultimate source of security in our lives, that above everything else, we would trust him to make this life work, to make it good, to make it successful, to protect us and keep us secure. But what it doesn't mean is that we're never going to be hurt, that somehow we become bulletproof. No, we live in the same world as everyone else. The same rain falls on us and floods out our homes. Economic crises, health problems, wars, they affect us too. No, this can't mean that we're never going to feel pain. But what it does mean, having God as our refuge, is that we won't go through it alone. We'll never be by ourselves, and nothing can separate us from God's love. The Apostle Paul, he says that marvelously in Romans. In Romans, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, it doesn't say that we will never experience what? Troubles, hardships, persecutions, famines, nakedness, danger, and sword. It doesn't promise that we won't be threatened by angels and demons, things in the present, things in the future, raging storm waters here in Duluth. What it does promise, though, is that we will never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That if we turn to God as our refuge, if when we're afraid, we run to him instead of the television or the bottle or the refrigerator, that he will meet us and we will experience his love and he will strengthen us. But I need to be clear here about something so I'm not misunderstood. It does talk about God getting us through our struggles, through our disasters. He guards our hearts particularly, and he takes us through them. And we have to often walk through them and feel the pain. But then there are other times when God just takes us out. He pulls us out of them. And that's up to him to decide when he does that. But it is amazing when he does. I've heard some marvelous stories from folks like you. I had a young couple come up to me once in the lobby. They ran up on a Sunday, wide-eyed, and they said, "You would not believe this. We were driving in our car down the highway, and it spun out of control, and we were headed to go off a ravine. And something grabbed our car, pulled it back on the road, and the next thing we know, we were stopped in our lane, headed the right direction." Wow. And the woman said, as she was sitting there in her car looking out her window, and she kind of hushed her voice when she said this, she said, "I'm looking out the window, and I think I saw an angel's wing as he let go and disappeared." Now, this woman did not look particularly crazy to me, but I think she wanted to know was she crazy? She kept asking, "Did these things really happen? Could it have been an angel?" And I said to her the same thing I'm saying to you today. Yes, God loves us, and sometimes he pulls us out and he protects us from the harm that is right there. And you know, sometimes he uses angels, but he doesn't just use angels. Often he uses us to help each other. I can think of a story in my own life, much less dramatic story, of when I was an intern working here at the church, and I was at the end of my rope. I was having an internal crisis. I was physically and emotionally exhausted, and I was telling God, "I just can't do this anymore. I am done." And it was at the end of the day, and I still had another meeting that evening, and I didn't even know at whose home it was at, how to get there, who to even call to find out, and I just wanted to drive home and fail, quit. And as I'm sitting in my car, God could have said many things to me to get me through it. Nothing. He didn't say a thing. I'm driving out of the parking lot, and there's a car there that I don't recognize, but I feel like I'm supposed to follow it. So I start following it. We get to the light, and I see that there's a young woman in the car, and I'm thinking, what am I doing following her? But I keep going. And after a little while, I do recognize her, and I think she's probably going to the meeting I'm going to. So I follow her there. As I'm getting out of the car, I hear God. And he says, "Okay, you were right. You can't do it. But I got you here. I can do it." You know, that young woman, she didn't even know she was helping to pull me out of my crisis. But she was. And God's still doing that. He's still in that business. And many of us, with what's going on in our community now, he's going to use us in amazing ways to do that, to provide refuge for people. And we as a community here, that's what we want to be about, being open to God using us in those ways. But God is not only our refuge, he's our strength. Remember Psalm 46? So What does that mean to be our strength? I've heard one commentator describe it this way. It was a cool way of thinking of the distinction between the two is that when he's our refuge, it implies that he's our outer protection. But when he's our strength, he provides inner strength. Think about it having a big cast on your leg. You know, the cast provides outer protection and strength. But when you take the cast off, you also need inner strength. And that inner strength's usually gone because you had a cast on. Well, God, he provides that inner strength within us. He's the one that when we're afraid and struggling and it is just too big to go on, he provides the strength. Again, the Apostle Paul talked about this. He talked about it in Corinthians. And there he said, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Look at all the tension here in this verse. Look at all the tension in our lives. The world, disasters are trying to crush us like bugs. And yet, we have the strength to stand up to that. But the strength doesn't come from us. We're clay. You know, if you break it down, he talks about we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. Clay would be crushed. We don't have the strength. God provides the strength. We are perplexed but not in despair. Well, clay is dumb as dirt. It's not our smarts, it's not our brilliance and genius that get us through, but God's there to comfort us. We are persecuted but not abandoned. Well, clay, it doesn't have great social skills. It doesn't have a network of people. It doesn't have the right relationships to call on when it's in trouble. But God, he's there for us. We are struck down but not destroyed. We're clay. How is it that we're not destroyed? It's God. It's God strengthening us from within. Maybe you have experienced this in your own life. You've been through something and you've said, the only reason I was able to walk that out is because God put supernatural strength in me to get through it. Maybe you've had that experience. Maybe you felt like I couldn't have gone on without that. You know, that's available to all of us. You know, what does it say in the psalm? It says, he is our ever-present help in trouble. Literally, in the original Hebrew, it says he's the help that is always available to us, accessible. Before you leave today, be sure to access that help. Help for yourself personally, for your struggles, but also be open to God, to hearing him, of does he want to use you to make his help accessible to others? So what does that help look like? What would it look like in our lives? I want to now go to verse 4 through 9 of the psalm. So the psalm starts out with God is our refuge and our strength. It talks about fear. But then in verse 4, it kind of changes. So I'm going to read that if you want to flip to page 393 again. And I'll read those verses, and I want you to look for two things in particular. Look for a snapshot, a really cool snapshot of what the kingdom of God looks like. And two, look for how God changes everything in this, how he transforms things. So, Psalm 46, starting in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Wow, our streams did not make Duluth glad this last week. The holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. Now, this psalm has a lot of military imagery, and the city of God, it's a fortress. It's a fortress that provides perfect protection. It can never fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Boy, the contrast between the turmoil and God's power. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But he's not just with us. Look what he does. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Yeah, he not only provides a fortress to protect us, he goes out and he eliminates every single threat. So, we've seen how disasters, they happen, and how because of our need for security, we fear, and we need something to help us to regain security, and that is God as our strength and as our refuge. But here, this part of the psalm, it really answers the question, how far does that go? I mean, how much strength and refuge is there? And what it's saying is it goes all the way. When God totally gets his way, we are completely safe, and he has eliminated all threats. In the city of God, there are no washed out roads. There are no flooded basements at all. But we live in Duluth. We don't live in heaven yet. And so Duluth does not quite have the same infrastructure as heaven. Yet we can experience the kingdom of God now. Not in total, but in part. It's available now. It can break through now. And that's really what we want to be part of, is welcoming this perfect future into the present and seeing it here in our community, in Duluth, being part of welcoming that in. Well, the other thing we see in these verses in the psalm is we see a picture of what God's doing, and he is the great transformer in this. He is not just present with us, he is changing everything. So it's as if God takes these things in our lives, these disasters, these things that cause us fear, that threaten us, and somehow out of those, he brings out growth and peace and hope. It's like God takes, you know, massive piles of manure and grows amazing flowers. And maybe you've experienced this in your life. You have walked through something awful, and you say, wow, it did transform me. I let God use it to bring incredible growth in me. Maybe it was, I don't know, an unwanted pregnancy. You were divorced, or you were fired. Maybe you've suffered, there's been suffering in your life because of some illness. For me, it was cancer. And yet, I think a lot of you would join me in saying after that, you know, I would never want to go through that again. And I wouldn't wish cancer on anyone. But, and this is a big but, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything because of the amazing things God did through it. The things he taught me, the closeness that I have with him now, I wouldn't trade that for anything. You know, a lot of us are overwhelmed. We are suffering. It may be because of this storm that we had this last week, or it may be because of other things that have gone on maybe for years. Well, this is what God's offering us, to make him our refuge and our strength and to use those things to bring transformation in us. And it could be painful, but boy, it grows something beautiful in us. And we also need to know that with what's happened in our city, God's making that offer to lots of people right now. This is an amazing time for the kingdom of God in Duluth. Okay, I want to look now at the last two verses in the psalm. So I'll read those. He, God, says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God." Be still, literally, it means stop striving. And you know, striving, that is often an attractive alternative to letting God be our refuge and our strength. We want to fight like crazy. And if we look at the language in the psalm, the military language is we want to pick up that spear and that the shield and just defend ourselves. And in modern times, we have lots of ways of trying to do that, trying to take control. Sometimes we go inward and we say, yeah, you know, I was rocked by this storm, but hey, I got it under control now. I've made a plan that's going to get my life right back to the way it used to be. I got it covered. Or maybe we look outward and we start to send nasty emails and argue, and we're going to file a lawsuit, and we're going to get what we're entitled to, even if it takes years. You know, it's funny that the psalm talks about being the God of Jacob. Do you know the story of Jacob? Jacob was a guy in the Old Testament that spent his life manipulating and striving and wrestling to get a blessing that God was all too happy to give him if he just would have stopped and let go, stopped fighting with his family and surrendered and received what God had already promised him. Some of us, we need to stop striving. We need to let go so we can receive what God has for us. You know, surrendering really is the key. So if today you are facing disaster, I'm inviting you to let go of control, to surrender and to experience the kingdom of God, to be still and know that he is God. And if you're not in the middle of a disaster right now, I also want to invite you to surrender. You know, God is inviting us individually and as a community, to be his hands and feet right now as a result of this disaster. Are we going to respond to that call? Are we going to surrender to that call? And you know, that will change us too. What would it look like if we were to stop making excuses for helping others? If we were to take our eyes off ourselves and focus on God and say, okay, God, I know you're doing stuff. What would you have me do? I know that my city is in trouble and that you want to bring your kingdom to it. What would you have me do? Some of us, we already know what to do. You know, we have a neighbor that needs help, or we know someone across town and we can help them clean out their basement or give them food and shelter during this time. But others of us, we don't know what to do yet. So I'm going to mention a few things. And when you hear them, I just want you to listen with an open heart for what God might be asking you to do. So first off, we could talk to our neighbors. You know, if you were here when we talked about neighboring and getting to know our actual neighbors, you might know their names, and that'll come in handy. If you don't, so what? Just go introduce yourself and just ask them. You know, is there anything you need a hand with to recover from the storm? Another thing that we are doing as a community is we're partnering with other vineyards, particularly the Hillside Vineyard, to help deliver clothes and household items to people that need them, to distribute them to them. So next Saturday, the 30th, from 11 to 2 o'clock at the Encounter, we're going to have a distribution of clothes and household items. And you can help with that. You can volunteer. You can contribute. You can donate good quality clothes, blankets, household items. You can take them down to the Encounter between Monday and Thursday, 10 to 4 of this coming week. You can be part of that. If you have questions on that, you can put it on your Connect form, sign up there, or you can go out to the Welcome Center. Dean will be out there. She's easy to spot. She's the Irish pregnant woman, and she can answer a lot of questions. Yeah, that's who she is. She can answer a lot of questions about how to respond to this. I know for others of you, you know, you're hearing God's call, and you know that he's saying, I want you to get out there and spread my love and bring my kingdom to Duluth, and you're ready to go. You're like, let's go. Come on, all of us. Let's head on out there. Well, I think the first thing that God might want some of us to do is be patient. You know, it is still dangerous in a number of places. They're still assessing the damage. The city has told us that they're not ready for hundreds of volunteers yet. And we want to be ready, though, when they are ready for them. So before you leave today, it'd be great if you could sign up to help. An easy way to do that is through this thing that we have set up called Flash Serve. You just pull out your cell phone and you just text the word Flash Serve to 313131. And then you will get texts in response of opportunities we have to go out, hundreds of us, and help in the city. If you don't have a cell phone like me, though, there is a table out in the lobby, and you can sign up there. And particularly if you have special skills, it would be great if you would sign up. Maybe you're a certified chainsaw operator, or maybe you are a carpenter. We'd love to have you particularly sign up and indicate your skills. I know there is actually an opportunity today. The city has told us 2 p.m. out at Hartley, they want to repair bridges out there. So if you know how to use a hammer, there's an opportunity even today if you want to sign up at the Welcome Center. And along those lines, out in the lobby, if you're someone who is suffering through this, If you have needs, we'd like to hear about those needs. Stop out at the table and tell us about those needs. Disasters really are an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God, the kingdom in us, like I said, flowing through us. And that's what we want to be about as a community. I'd like to invite you all to stand up now, and we're gonna experience that. We're going to experience some of the kingdom. We're going to move into something we call ministry time, which is just a time of letting God speak to us directly. And we're going to do that with some extended worship in a little while, but first I just want to ask God for even more of his presence. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you come now. God, be with us. Come close to each individual's hearts here and put your finger on the areas in which we are suffering. Show us those. Bring them to light if we're hiding them. And speak to us about how you will be our refuge and our strength. In the same way, God, challenge us today. Let us hear your call to be your hands and feet. Your hands and feet. Speak directly to our hearts. I'd also like to invite the ministry team to come forward. So as we've been talking, if something's been stirring in you, the ministry team, they're coming forward to pray for you, that you could come up and get prayer, because we believe prayer makes a big difference. So if something's stirring in you, let them pray for you. Maybe you know that you are suffering and you need God's strength, you need his refuge. Connect with that this morning. Connect with him. Or maybe on the other hand, you hear God's call to help and you're excited. Let us pray for that. Let us bless that. Or maybe you hear God's call to help and you're not excited. Let us pray for that too. Let us pray for what's really going on in you. We're going to go into this time of worship, but at any time during that, if you feel that prayer would help connect you with God, just come on up. Let someone pray for you. Now, we're going to go into, like I said, a time of worship. And there is power when God's people worship him. And that's what we want together to do, is worship him, to call out from him, to call out to him in our time of distress. And sometimes it might seem like we're not doing anything when we're worshiping. We're just singing songs. And that's really part of the point, is when we worship, we're saying, God, it's not about us. It's about you. You're the one that will deliver us from disaster. You're the one that has the power. We're small. You are big. We want you. So resist the temptation. Resist the, I've got something else to do now. And stay and just worship him. Worship him as long as you can stay and do that. Now, the first thing that we're going to do in worship is a little different. We're going to together read Psalm 46 together, and we're going to just read it back to God as an act of worship. Anna's going to read it for us, and I'd ask you to just join in. We'll have the words up on the screen, and just as a way to calling out to God in this time that we're currently in. And then after that, we'll move into a time of singing as well.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He turns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.